Father, we just thank you for another good time tonight. Lord, we thank you for the celebrations in this country, because we know that you're in charge, and whatever happens is because you've ordained it. But we do like to celebrate the wonderful birth of this country, and you've allowed us to be here. I know it looks like pretty bad in areas here, but we just keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a good night. We ask for your anointing upon everybody. Let your glory come down, Lord, and envelop all of us with nothing but you, Lord. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so much so that there's nothing left in there but you. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to guide us, lead us, and direct us tonight to do and to say the things that you have us to talk about. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. Where's my deal? Anybody got any prayer requests? Have y'all already broke up over there, Leon? Okay. You just went and ate burgers and come back, didn't you?
Yeah, I came back for the meeting. Denny and Debbie may be on a little later, but Matt and Sue, or Matt and Anna, and Tim, and Judy and Sue, they won't be on.
Yeah, okay. Willie called me and said he's not going to be on either.
Right.
So, that's okay. We've got enough here. Got 14. All right, anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray about something? How about a testimony? How about a praise report?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gaynold.
I just want to give a prayer of thanksgiving for, thank the Lord for the beautiful rain we got yesterday morning. Got about 2 inches, which was wonderful. We really needed it. And so everything's watered abundantly. Oh, so, thank you, Father.
I thought you had water over the ground up there.
Well, not right here. Down by Omaha, they do. And they've just continued to get like 3 inches at a time over and over. And they don't really need it, but they keep getting it. That's over 100 miles from where I live, where they're, you know, where they're getting all that really heavy rain. I guess there were some areas north of where I live that had 2 to 3 inches in places. But it's been dry where I live, so I was really happy to have the rain.
Okay, praise God.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yeah, we got a rain last night, about almost an inch, not quite an inch, well, about 3/4 of an inch or so. Yeah, Judy.
I have prayer requests.
Okay.
Just before I got on tonight, something bit my arm. It's got a bump on here. It's red and itchy and kind of painful. If you all would pray with me about that, that'd be good.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Well, we command the swelling to go down in the name of Jesus. We command the pain or the itching to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that Julie is healed.
Amen.
That insect doesn't have any effect on her in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm immune.
Amen. That thing probably died when it bit you. Just saying. All right. Anybody here? He paid the ultimate price, Julie.
Yeah, say, yeah. The life of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and yeah. That's the curse.
Amen. Go ahead, Leon.
All right, I've been having a reoccurring problem that I can't seem to get rid of, but I prayed with David this morning, and I feel a lot better about it. But anyway, I was actually thinking about leaving the fellowship, not factioning out or anything, but I didn't want to be the cause of the fellowship not being able to attain. So I was even contemplating that and talking with the Lord about it and so forth. And David prayed for me and encouraged me, and so I feel a lot better now, and I feel encouraged, and I'm not going to leave the fellowship, but that wouldn't be an ongoing thing. I mean, I wouldn't move or anything like that. I would stay here and seek the Lord on my own, but I feel good about what occurred, so I'm going to stay with the fellowship, and
that's the best thing to do.
What's that?
That is the best thing to do. That's not leaving the fellowship is not an option.
Well, I just didn't want to be a hindrance. You know, there's always a word about somebody's hindering the group from attaining, and I didn't want to be that person. You know, and I wouldn't be cutting everybody off, but I just wouldn't be attending as much. That was what was in my mind.
Yeah.
But after talking to David, I agree with what you just said. Cutting yourself off from the fellowship isn't a good idea. So,
no.
So anyway.
Listen, if we need to get rid of you, we've got two men in black suits that'll come around and talk to you. I don't know about that. No. That's the worst thing in the world somebody can do. We've had people do that before, and they don't come back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I need to get victory over myself.
Yeah, and, we all do. And we're doing it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
You're doing it too, believe it or not. You're doing it too.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with you, Leon. You're fine. You're with a you're a benefit. You really are.
He's a blessing, ain't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, you are. No, we don't tell no lies here. All right, Julie.
I just wanted to encourage Leon maybe those thoughts of that were respectful of the body and humility and all that, but I also know that the enemy will try to plant seeds in their head too to get you isolated and thinking you'd be better off by yourself, and try to deceive you into thinking that that's a good idea. But becoming isolated from the body is bad.
Right. No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I wasn't gonna totally isolate myself, but I was just not gonna attend as much. But anyway, it's all settled now. But I did want to share that with you guys. And if you think about me in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. And if you just think about me, pray for me that I would overcome my self.
Amen.
You're already dead, Leon.
We just praise you, Father, that what you're doing in Leon is killing Leon. Thank you, Lord. George wrote in the chat room, Leon, he says, love never fails, Brother Leon.
That's right. Amen. I agree.
And we love you, brother.
Well, I love you guys too. That would be the only reason I would move out, because I love you and I don't want to hinder anybody. So.
Okay. Go, Dave.
I remember going through those things, and other bodies. It's definitely an attack. It's just hard to see it. But that's when Satan tries to magnify something on you. He thinks he has on you an edge. Boy, it's a lying demon. It gets us looking at ourselves instead of Jesus a lot. There's no satisfaction in that. No. Especially if you think we're a hindrance. Oh my gosh, No, we're a body. We're just a body of Christ, We're not the complete body, but we're all a body, part of the body. I'm glad you're in it. I'm glad you're here with us. I'm glad everybody's here. I'd hate to try to do this all by myself. It'd be a lot of fun to be on a conference call by yourself.
Amen. Hey, Andrew. Happy July 4th, Andrew.
Yeah, what's all that about anyway?
Oh, my. Amen. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray about something? Anybody watch Trump's speech? I watched it. I was looking for some big time revelations. And it was just one of those patriotic speeches, you know, that he did. Yeah, pretty good. I mean, they were out there raining on him all the time. Yeah, Diane.
I was glad that when they sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic at the very end, that they sang the last verse that lifts, that exalts Christ's name.
Oh, yeah.
That I was happy that Christ somehow got in there.
Amen.
Amen.
That probably fried the leftists, too.
Oh, they're probably going nuts. So they've been going nuts a while day. Yeah, Julie.
I didn't watch it or listen to it, but was there anything specific he said that you could talk about, or is it just all patriotism type
stuff? All he did was congratulate the military on the good job they'd done for the last 200 years, and it was pretty good, I guess. I was looking for something else. But.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll probably come later. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
Can I ask, could you guys discuss anything important about yesterday at all? I kind of missed it, but. I don't want to rehash anything. We don't want to talk about it.
Well, we talked about you, but other than that, it was all right.
That's fine. I like to listen because, you know, I can use all the help I can get. I know you think Leon's going to get hit. I'll listen. About me.
No. We just talked about current events and stuff like that. So it wasn't no big deal.
No strange stuff, the unique stuff that's coming up?
No, not really. Okay. I know. Just about local. Current events, what's going on?
I'm not sure I understand.
What? Julie, you want to do that Watchman on the Wall, do you? My iPad's over here talking to me. Can y'all hear it?
I'm not sure I understand. What are you saying? Yeah, I can read what was on there. I don't know if you're familiar, any of you, or all of you, I should say, to Watchman on the Wall is Mina Lee Gribben, and she has a gift of prophecy, and she has some really good dreams.
Let me say one thing about Mina Lee Gribben. She's pre-tribulation rapture, and when the Lord gives her some of these prophetic words, it just confuses her so much. She said, "We're not going to be going through that, Lord. What are you talking about?" And she gets so confused. But just understand that she's kind of messed up in her end time prophet Bible prophecy. But go ahead now. Okay. Now that we've got that cleared up.
Okay, so beginning of this email, I subscribe to her email, so if there's anything that she gets and she puts out there, I don't follow her on her website or anything like that, but I just kind of, she sends out an email notification, I get it. So I got one today, and it's on the top of it, it says, emergency alert system, please stand by. It's like one of those, you know, state of emergency warning things that come, that's what she has at the top there, picture that. And she says, I want to share a disturbing dream that was given to me after asking a specific question in prayer about what's to come, what's to soon come. The first scene was that I was, in the first scene I was running. I'm not sure who or what I was running from, but I ran straight into a dark room. As soon as I entered the room, I could feel that someone was there. I reached out my hand with my palm facing forward and I yelled, "Who's there?" As soon as I said this, my palm rested up against someone's chest. A voice came from this person, and in a low tone, he responded, "You already know who I am." At this point, it was as though a dim light shone upon his face. There was no way of telling where this light came from, and it was so dim or limited that it only highlighted parts of his face. It was Obama. He was taller than what he is in the natural. He stood about 7 feet or so. I noticed that on his shoulders rested a pair of hands, but they weren't human hands. Although they had five fingers like human, long black talons protruded out of the tips. My eyes then focused to an even taller black silhouette that was standing behind Obama. It was Satan. The next scene, I was in another room, seemingly next to the one I was just previously in. I saw two creatures standing next to each other in communication. The first one was very tall. He had skin like a human. However, it was reddish brown color, almost that of dried blood. And there was a pattern on his skin that reflected that of a leopard. The second creature was much shorter, but grotesque, jet black, slimy, and hunched over. I knew that these were evil spirits. I asked the spirits their identity. The tall one began spinning many names, including the name Lucifer. But I responded with, "No, he's in the other room." The short, black, slimy creature simply said, "I am filth and perversion." They both let me know that they had been assigned to Obama. Third scene. I was now in the car with my husband. We were parked outside of a diner. The windows to the diner were huge, and you could see all the activity that was going on within. There were several large flat screen televisions mounted high on the walls. Suddenly, a loud alarm rang on my cell phone. I picked it up and saw that this was an emergency alert broadcast. When I looked back at the diner, I could see that all the television screens had the same alert. Then the screens changed to the setting of a press conference in Washington, D.C. Nancy Pelosi walked to a podium and began addressing the nation. She said that we were under a national emergency. However, she didn't state from what. Next, she said that for the safety of the country, all the planes had been grounded and all the borders had been closed. No one was allowed to leave. Then she went on to say that there would be a formal national address at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. As I'm watching this from my phone, I'm thinking, where's Trump? Pelosi then says, "We will be addressed by Barack Obama." You could hear the shock and amazement coming from the tones of the press. Everyone was thinking the same thing. What happened to President Trump? Once again, I looked over at the crowded diner, and I saw that some people were in panic while others seemingly cracked a smile. The dream ended. There is more I need to add to this, but I don't want to make this post too long. Since being shown this, I recently, within the last couple of days, was given another dream revealing the details of certain types of Christians and right-winged people being detained and sent to detention centers here in the U.S. Before closing, I will reveal this. A dear acquaintance of mine, who is also in the prophetic, contacted me shortly after Trump called a national emergency in order to obtain funds for the border wall. She said that she was not allowed to reveal this in public, but that the Lord has spoken to her and said that the national emergency is in place and it will never be lifted, but rather it will eventually be turned into martial law. When she said this, I was on the freeway driving home. Cold chills ran down my spine, and for a split second, I actually felt fear. about a month after she told me what was revealed to her is when the Democrats voted to have a national emergency reversed. I was secretly hoping that it would be overturned because my friend's words haunted me. So when Trump vetoed the bill and the declaration stood in place, all I could do was pray. It was shortly after this, while in prayer, that the Lord said he was going to give me the answer about what's to come. As with all things, take this to prayer. Shalom, Mina Lee Griffin.
Amen. We need to pray about that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know that the deep state would love to see Trump taken out any way possible. I'm asking you, Lord, to place your warrior angels around him and his administration and around his family. And I thank you for your supernatural protection around him, Lord. And I'm asking and I pray, Lord, that you would place it in Christian's heart all across this nation to be praying for his safety. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that our prayers are answered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for President Trump and his family and the administration in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask right now that the Red Sea just take over the enemy. Father, we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for draining the swamp up there in D.C. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
All right. Well, I'm not going to pray. I just have a statement about that dream. Also, Pence wasn't involved. He would have been the next person to make that address because he's the vice president, and she's the third in line. So as the Speaker of the House, she's the third in line.
Yeah, Missy, you got to unmute when you... Oh, yeah.
Not only do we ask for your protection upon President Trump and all his administration, not just protection, but we come against all plans of a coup to take him out and his administration. We command confusion in the camp of the enemy and all plans of a coup, of a takeover. We scatter them, their plans, in the name of Jesus. We send confusion into the camp of the enemy, and we call this plan null and void in the name of Jesus, and all of it falls to the ground and comes to nothing. And we thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and we just ask you to reveal any plans to President Trump and his administration, Lord. And that, Lord, you would just send forth your angels, Lord, to come against this and to give President Trump a heads up, Lord, however that looks. We just thank you for doing that. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe that. Lord, we know that when we pray, the things happen. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you would reveal what this dark, sinister plot is and who's doing it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that it would be revealed to the patriots and to Trump in Jesus' name. Lord, we just believe this like Missy was praying, Father, that you're going to protect him. And not only that, you're going to reveal the source of all of this evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Lock them up. All right, anybody else? Last count that I saw was like 14 attempts on his life already. That's just what we know about. It's got to be God that's keeping that man alive. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? All right, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Oh, boy, we can lock this one up pretty quick. Yeah, Missy.
I had been thinking about the Odin Hetrick's video and everything, and I started reading The Real Good News, and I came to a section here and I was just like, wow. I mean, because of what we shared on Tuesday and plus what I read here, just really, I mean, like, wow.
Where you at? What page?
I think 28. I'm trying to see here. Okay. Actually, the bottom of 27, I'm going to start at that last sentence. We are to walk in the Spirit, as our Lord taught us to walk in the Spirit. And we can only do it if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Spiritual eyes and ears. If then ye were raised together with Christ, why does it say that? Even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace have ye been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ. There it is again. We are already made to sit with him. We are seeing the end from the beginning and calling the things that are not as though they were, just as God is doing in this verse. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have ye been saved through faith. The people who walk by faith in verse 5 and 6 are going to see this come to pass. People talk about the rapture a lot, but they don't say much about Enoch being raptured or translated by faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. So it's you claiming something while there is no evidence seen. You're claiming something that you can't see and calling the things that are not as though they were. And now we can go back to Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. What did Jesus teach us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. What do we have up there, seated next to Christ? Is there any sickness there? Are there any demon-possessed Christians there? Is there any lack there? Is there any poverty there? None of these things are there. God's will is done in heaven, and he tells us to command his will on earth. What did Jesus say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It does not sound much like a prayer, does it? It sounds like he's telling us to exercise authority to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And who else is going to bring it? The Lord through us, through the renewed mind, is going to bring the kingdom. The Amen. Kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. If you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God, in the heavenlies, I want to say. See, anyway. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, to make visible, or cause to shine, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. He's talking about Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here he says, seek the things that are above where Christ is, because ye are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I was just like, wow. I mean, the Lord reminded me again of what a beautiful name. You didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? Yeah, and I was just like, I was like, I don't even know if I have words to put it into words. You know, when you pray, you know, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on the earth. Like he was saying here, all these things, the sickness, the curse, all that stuff is not in heaven. So when we set our mind on the things which are above, meaning the blessings, there is no curse there. We see ourselves seated there with Christ and believe that we've we see the end from the beginning, believing that we've already received. And you know, Jesus is coming in us, and he came from heaven. Only that which comes out of heaven goes back to heaven, Jesus, okay? And so Jesus coming in us, you know, you didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like Jesus coming in us is bringing God's will in heaven down to the earth to rule and reign in this earth through us, you know. I just kept what kept coming to me was asking the Lord to rule and reign in my heart, you know, and just really seeing. I don't even know if I have words just to express, but just seeing myself in the heavens and thinking on the things which are above, you know, set your mind on the things that are above. And I mean, it's like, I don't know if I can explain it. It's just the Lord just really used that, all this, to just infuse faith into me, because that's what this is all talking about, and calling the things that are not as though they were, you know. In God's eyes, it's already done, and we have to have the same eyes as he does, you know, eyes to see and ears to hear. And you know, spiritual eyes are, what the Lord showed me was to have spiritual eyes and ears is to walk in the Spirit. In other words, you just don't see anything except by a heavenly perspective, you know, seeing that everything's done away with, you know, all the curse is done away with, that Jesus did it all, you know, and all of it's finished. And I don't know, it just so impressed me and just so encouraged me. I don't have the words to explain it.
Hey, Missy, what were you reading from?
The Real Good News. So, but yeah, I was just really, and I listened again then, not too long ago, earlier, the whole video of Odin. So it's just
this is where heaven is, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a, it is. I mean, If thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so also on the earth. In other words, we're to bring heaven to earth.
That's right.
And
through the promises.
What did you say, Michael?
Through the promises.
Right. And if we believe and we walk according to those, and we do these exploits, and we go out and preach the good news, the gospel, and like we so often heard, we can't give somebody something that we don't have. We can't, But anyway, I was just really encouraged. I was just really thinking about that, And faith through imagination, Just seeing yourself seated and in the heavens, just thinking, just the whole heaven testimonies of Odin, and everything what he saw, just kind of really helped. It fueled this, that this fueled that, and that fueled this, and it just really impacted me and just greatly encouraged me.
Amen. Okay. All right, go ahead, Leah. No, okay. That's right. We bring it down. That's why the revival, that's what's going to bring on the revival, is God's people with signs of wonder. When there's disasters all around us, they're going to wonder, why aren't these people over here being affected by all of this? Why aren't these people over here doing it? And you can be able to tell them, I'll tell you why. We know Jesus. And then you can tell them. That's going to bring on the revival, bringing heaven on earth, the signs and wonders. I believe that. Going to take them people out of the apostate churches too. Yeah, Judy.
I remember in one of David's teachings where he was saying, and it's in the using the scriptures, how the kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you, or the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. I believe it's worded both ways. But is where within your own heart, where God rules, where Jesus is rule and on the throne of your heart, and in the midst of us, like we all come together and he's in the midst of us. Heaven is in the midst of us, or the kingdom of God is in the midst of us, when everyone is in submission to the truth and obedient to it. Where the kingdom of heaven is wherever God is ruling.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
And it's when he sent his disciples out with authority to do the works that he was doing, and the kingdom of, he sent them out and told them, to tell them, the kingdom of God has. How is that word? The kingdom of God is I can't remember how it was worded, but just that they were to do the same works, and that's bringing the works, doing his works and bringing in the kingdom of heaven down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Marilyn had her hand up once.
Do what?
Said Marilyn, she had her hand up once a little while back. Did you want to talk?
Go ahead. Sometimes you just got to be loud. You know what I mean? Okay, Leon.
No, I had something, but Leon covered it. It was something, it was way back. It was when we were talking about Mina Lee's dream, and he covered exactly the same thought came to me as what he already shared about Pelosi being the third in line. And if I just thought about that, if she was there at the podium of the White House, then both Trump and Pence would be gone because she was next in line.
Yep. Well, that prophetic words are for one thing, that's for us to pray them down if it's bad. And so that's what we do. All right, go ahead, Leon.
Okay. I was just thinking about Odin's thing about heaven. You know, he was talking like he was going to heaven, and the scripture talk about the New Jerusalem coming down to us. You know, so I mean, when you die, you're somewhere with Jesus. I don't know if you're in heaven or not, but I would say you're in paradise, but which may be a different location than heaven. But after everything's accomplished, the New Jerusalem comes down to earth. So what Missy's saying is correct in that, you know, we have to work heaven out here. That's all I wanted to say.
Go ahead, Missy.
That part that Leon was talking about, New Jerusalem come down in heaven, doesn't David talk about that, that when it says that it's the New Jerusalem, which is the bride being born from above, is coming down, you know, that's actually happening now, you know?
Yep. We're the New Jerusalem.
Right.
He teaches that, and hidden manna, man, child, and bride, and a couple of them. Yeah, Diane.
As you're speaking about this, it reminds me of Jacob's dream when he was going to go to Laban, and he laid down and had his dream, and he saw a ladder from heaven to earth with angels descending upon it. And I believe that ladder is Christ, you know? And it's like there's two-way traffic, I believe. And the angels, you know, on one hand, we can send them up and he can send them down, and I don't know how to explain it, but that dream just came to me as you were speaking, how the two-way traffic, and it's based on Jesus as a ladder. That's all.
Amen. Yeah, Leah. Go ahead, Leah.
That's what Jesus said to Nathaniel when he was called. He was sitting under the tree. Jesus saw him sitting under the tree, and he was saying that you'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So that I think that Nathaniel was contemplating what happened with that dream. And then Jesus, when he called him, said, well, here's what the truth of that is. The angels ascend and descend on the Son of Man. So.
Amen. Yep, that's pretty interesting. We had talked about a few conference calls ago about the two witnesses, and if they came out of the bride or not. And I got to reading about the two witnesses in Hidden Manna, and I have the answer. I know all there is to know about the two witnesses. And I don't mind sharing with y'all if we can just pass the plate a little bit here. the two witnesses, if you remember, Jesus appointed the apostles and the two witnesses came out of the apostles, Jesus being the man child, and as a type and a shadow. The two witnesses, of course, are the ones that are martyred during the second 2.5 years. And they don't come out of the bride. The bride is protected throughout, as the book of Esther tells us, and also some other things that I can't remember right now. But if you remember, the man child will appoint apostles, and then the apostles will appoint the rest of the fivefold ministry. And he will ordain the apostles. Now, if you remember, the apostles had to have seen Jesus and been with Jesus in order to be an apostle or disciple, that apostle, one of the 12. And that's the way it's going to be with the man child, spiritually speaking. They're going to see the resurrection of the man child, spiritually speaking. You remember when Jesus went on the transformation, what do they call that? That big word.
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration, yeah. Thank you. And he took John and James and Peter and who was the other. Anyway, they went up there and Jesus shone. That was one of his resurrections there. And it's going to be the same way with the man child and the apostles, who will be the two witnesses. He'll send them out two by two. And matter of fact, David had how many witnesses there were going to be. And I was amazed how many there will be. It's way on up there, man. There are a bunch of them.
So you're saying these witnesses don't come out of the bride?
No, they don't. It's a separate. This is after the bride is already picked. The bride is picked before tribulation starts, if you remember, because the man child takes the bride into tribulation.
I'm also reading there in Revelation 3 that the Church of Philadelphia, it's kept out of the hour or the trial that's coming on the whole world. Is that similar to the bride? She's not this church.
Could be. Yeah.
They're kept out of the trial, that hour of trial.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe David even teaches that.
Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, the man child, and I'm just going to, let me just read this. The man child, Jesus, called the 12 out as a corporate body of two witnesses in training in the first 3.5 years, just as the end time man child will. Mark 6 and 7, and he calls unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two. David said, from then on they were called apostles. In Acts, which represented the second 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is the Gospels. The second 3.5 years is the Acts as a type and a shadow. From then on, they were called apostles. In Acts, which represented the second set of 3.5 years, there were two corporate witnesses. Before Matthias replaced Judas as a witness, the 11 were there and 10 were paired up, Acts 1 and 13. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber where they were abiding, both Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Although some of these were not heard from in the Bible again, in instances too many to enumerate, they continued this habit of going out as a corporate body of two witnesses. Although not counted among the 12 witnesses, later apostles also went out two by two. Acts 14:14, 15:40, 16:25. Even when Paul sometimes appeared to be alone, Luke, who wrote Acts, was a silent partner, modestly chronicling his acts, Paul's acts. Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4:11, Philemon 24. And as we have seen, Paul was among 12 other apostles identified in the New Testament when the Greek word apostolos is translated apostle instead of messenger, as it is elsewhere. Sometimes there were more than two in a company. Although rarely mentioned, sometimes the apostles took wives with them, as some of the Latter-day Witnesses will. 1 Corinthians 9:5, have we no right to lead about a wife that is a believer, even as the rest of the apostles? The 12 apostles, including Matthias, were called witnesses, which is from the Greek word martus, and in English is martyrs, as a type for the end times. There also raised up other apostles and elders, and many of whom were not martyred. Jesus also sent out elders, two and two, to preach the good news of the kingdom. Many whom were not martyred. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, now after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself was about to come. And here's where it gets interesting. He said, if you multiply the 144,000 man-child by 70, you get 10,080,000. The 12 and the 70 were sent as a corporate body of two in the first 3.5 years. Moses is the type of the man-child, sent out the 12 princes of the tribes in Numbers 13, 2, and 3, and the 70 elders to the people in Numbers 11, 16, and 17. So 10,080,000 witnesses. Now, you think that's a lot of people, but you got a lot of area to cover. There's a whole world to cover. Two people can't cover it, can they? Like they got in those movies. Two people ain't going to be able to cover it. I don't care if I say it's on TV and all that and everybody can see it. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be a bunch of folks out there witnessing for Jesus. And they're going to be showing signs and wonders everywhere, bringing people to Christ and getting killed because of it. But you know what? Those people that get martyred for Christ, they're going to be up there with Jesus. They're going to be up there at the foot of God. And people said, I don't want to stay up there in that same place all the time and all the time. You don't know the ecstasy and the glory that's going to go with those people wherever they go. Go ahead, Missy. I just had to get that out, man. I tell you what. Lord of God.
The part where you mentioned about, people saying, that they're going to be on TV. But, and then you followed it up with saying, them doing signs and wonders. That's the one thing that they've always left out of that the two witnesses will be doing is the signs and wonders,
Yeah.
And just thinking, that these two guys are going to be on TV. No, the Lord wants them to be going, the corporate body to be going all over the world and doing signs and wonders, healings, deliverance, and so on and so forth, not just, these two people can't just cover it all, like you're saying, so. Yeah.
Yeah, that movie Left Behind had the two witnesses in a cage in Jerusalem. Y'all remember that? Had them in a cage there, and of course TV cameras was on them. That's how come they can get all over the world. They ain't got cameras in some parts of Africa, in some parts of Brazil, in some parts of these out places, Probably some places in Arkansas ain't got TV. Oh my God. So that ain't the way that they do that.
What are they going to do in a cage? We're
what were they doing in the cage? I don't know. That's just where, what's his name, had him in that movie.
That's crazy. So they're out to spread the gospel, their true gospel, to bring people into the image of Jesus Christ. And in the process, they signs and wonders will follow, show that they were sent of God.
Yeah. They're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit wherever they go. And the light of the gospel is going to go forward. And this is the time, during the 7 years of tribulation, is the time when God's going to populate heaven. Most people's going to go in. More people are going to go in during this next 7 years than at any other time put together, combined.
I've and we'll have more than one man-child, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yep, there's going to be a bunch of man-child. When I say a bunch, it's going to be numerous. As Jimmy Swagger says, multiplied multiplicities. 144,000, I think, is the number that David talks about. He doesn't know for sure, but that's the number that he talks about, is 144,000. You talk about 144,000 Jesus is running around. When one Jesus did all of what he did, and what did John say about him? He said, man, if I had to put all this stuff in a book, ain't a library in the world that could hold it all. And then you're going to have 144,000 of them. Woo, glory to God. My.
I like your paraphrase, Michael.
Well, that's what it said, was.
He's saying about the library.
Sorry. Well, that's what he said. All right. Well, you got me off track here. Man, I was going good, too. Let's see. Anyway, is there any questions about the two witnesses or the man-child or the bride? You understand what the bride's going to be doing? Everybody understand what the bride's going to be doing? Look, there's going to be a second fruits man-child ministry also.
Okay, what's the bride's job since she's not the witnesses?
Discipling people, teaching people about Jesus. As the man child teaches the bride teaches the people, teaches the rest of the church. They're going to be the people, you know, when all hell breaks loose and the shaking begins and all these natural disasters happen, people's lives are going to be just completely destroyed, and they're going to be running to Jesus, and these angels are going to be sent out and telling these people, say, go here, go there, go here, over here, go over there, and they're going to be coming to us, so to speak. They're going to be coming to you, they're going to be coming here, and you're going to know what they're coming for, because remember when Ananias, the Lord told him, said, go. Lay your hands on Paul. He's fixing to come over. See, lay your hands on Paul and open his eyes, because I got to work for him to do. Same thing. Basically, the same thing's going to happen. It's going to be supernatural for God's people. Supernatural walk in 7 years for God's people. I wouldn't miss it for the world, and I hope I don't. I want to see every bit of it.
So Ananias would have been like a type of the bride, I guess?
I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it does talk like he was an elder.
Yeah. Well, there's a type and a shadow, you know. You can use anything. I can use anything. It's my story. Anyway, it's going to be good. Let me read some more here.
I just want to add, when you're talking about Ananias, God sent him to Paul to do it. So He was sent of God to do it. So whatever, he was a witness or part of the bride, Paul had a reputation of killing people. He was afraid to go. He was,
an apostate preacher, wasn't he?
Right.
We're going to have the same thing coming in. These apostate preachers are going to come to Jesus when they get struck, when they get slapped off that donkey. It's going to be cool. And then you're going to tell, wait a minute, Jesus, listen, I remember this guy over here. He was killing some of my brothers over there. I don't know if I need to go over and talk. And he's going to tell you the same thing he told Ananias. Do what I told you. Then I tell you, get up, go over and put your hands on it. You be protected. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be cool. He said, I've got a job for him to do.
So you think we'll see some Pauls out there that are going to be like Saul's church?
Absolutely.
Paul's trying to kill him and persecute him, and all of a sudden God's going to knock them down. They're going to come to their sense, be given the light of the truth, and they see Jesus, and they're going to turn into a Paul overnight and just come after everybody with fervency like Paul.
I believe that's going to happen.
Saul was gone for a while before he even, you know, came into the presence of the apostles, you know, before he was, God had to undo a lot of stuff. So I'm just thinking, it's like when all these judgments fall, that God's going to, you know, I just wonder, it's like getting him knocked off his donkey, his horse or whatever. It's like when these judgments come and you don't hear from some of these really loud, boisterous, you know, speaking against the truth so much, you're not going to hear from them. One day they're just going to show up and have been converted.
And going to be humbled.
It's just a thought that just came to me about what God's going to do in these judgments to get, you know, to shake up their world and bring them to a place of who, you know, who's who.
That's you, Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that's going to happen. And, you know, they're going to be blind because they don't have any truth. And they're going to have to do just like Paul did. They're going to have to wipe that computer clean. God will have to wipe it clean. I start all over. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, we're going to see that, or we see that kind of stuff happening now. I'm thinking about one particular guy who was a high muckety-muck in the satanic rituals, and went to churches and cursed them and so on and so forth. But when he saw the power of the Lord, the true power of the Lord, he came to the Lord because he knew that the Lord had greater power than the satanic group that he was with. So, and that's happening all over the place even now. And that's the kind of stuff that we're going to see a lot of, because the masses of satanic people, it's amazing. There's 20 million here in the United States, according to Russ Dizdar. So, you know.
What was that you sent me today about the Lutheran Church?
Yeah, yeah.
That they've got a satanic cult in there?
Yeah.
You can send that to me. That'd be something I'd like to read.
Michael will have to do it.
Yeah, I can send it to you, Dave. I think I can. Let me see if I still got it.
If you still got it, you can do it. Otherwise, let me know and I'll send it to him. I don't have your email address is the only thing. So, but I can get it from Michael.
Yeah, it'd work.
Yeah, here it is. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
I didn't have anything. I was just kind of like putting my hand up, kind of like saying, well, what about the Lutheran Church? I was like, yeah. Anyway.
Some of them are covens of witches. It's just some stupid stuff going on. And I know some of you are Lutheran, but this is really going on. Well, where's the forward button?
There's no Lutherans
Michael,
in here.
I'm sorry.
Just want to clarify, Michael, there's no Lutherans in here.
What I used to be. Some used to be Lutheran. Go ahead,
Michael. You probably heard what's going on in Denmark, that the Lutheran Church has teamed up with of course, it's the state religion there in Denmark, but they basically have come to the conclusion or made the passed a law that you can't, the only people that can kick out demons are ones who are approved by the government.
No, this is in America.
I know, but the Lutheran Church is also operation in some other countries.
Oh, does it? I'll send you the link, David.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? I can't do two things at one time.
I just want to, thanks for sharing that, Malcolm. I'd forgotten about that, that the country of Denmark was so much Lutheran. Both my my parents are from Scandinavian countries, and Denmark is one of them. And my brother has a real strong spirit, and so does my aunt on my mom's side and her kids. And that kind of explains a lot.
They shut down. Am I still on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shut down. All of Torben's ministry has left. They had to shut down the Jesus Center and all the other stuff, and which cost them quite a bit. But it became the government. It became so dangerous for them. They just Torben's here in the States, as you know, down in Florida. Last I heard, anyway, and. His family have moved here, just at least temporarily. They don't know where they're gonna, what's gonna happen, but it's just gotten too bad. I mean, they used to do deliverance on the street, and now it's, you know, they were getting hounded by the media and the politicians. Just they just went crazy and passed all these laws, so that they're taking kids away from their parents, and anybody who's seen a deliverance that's a kid is, you know, basically taken away, I guess. So, just it's interesting that, you know, where these state religions, they basically shut down anything that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
why America was formed. People trying to get away from the state religion garbage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess that's just Satan in control there.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like, you know, Putin says that Russia's got freedom of religion, you know, as long as you belong to the Orthodox Church. You know, anything else, you're out of there.
Yeah, Torben recently posted a video, I think it was last week. He went to a Trump's a rally down at the Amway Center or whatever it is down in Florida, and He turned to the, you know, he had his phone, you know, like he does with his videos, and he brought the phone or the camera, the lens around to himself, and he says, this is incredible. You'd never see somebody praying, because this lady was praying for Trump before he came up to speak, I guess, and he said, this is incredible. This would never be allowed in Europe to have this kind of a prayer, aggressive prayer, praying protection and all this kind of thing. It's just not. Unheard of. He couldn't. In fact, he had tears in his eyes. He was saying, "This is, I can't believe I'm hearing this," you know, type thing. So, well, he didn't say that, but you can go back. You guys can look at the video if you want.
She was on stage or something.
Well, he was way back, so you could barely see who was on stage. But it was a woman's voice, anyway. Yeah, she was on stage. It was just before Trump came up, I guess. You could probably see the whole video. You know, I'm sure it's been posted online somewhere, but he was just showing his little 60 seconds of, or whatever, of him and this other gentleman from Denmark or somewhere.
It was Paula White that was praying.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was Paula White, and she cast out the demons on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't really hear the prayer very well. Yeah. I mean, from Torben's phone, but.
And of course, the left went bonkers.
Well, the other guy that was with Torben, he said, "You're never going to see this on the media. They're never going to show this."
Yeah.
But he said, "This is phenomenal." They were both aghast at what was going on.
Not on the mainstream media, but you see it on the alternative media.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Anyway, it's just interesting to see somebody's perspective that's from another, you know, like Europe.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was curious when that was. Was that recent that Paula White did this?
Well, it was at the, you know, down at the Amway Center in Florida when Trump made his announcement, I guess, for...
That was last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is she spirit-filled?
I don't know anything about her.
She's got that Jezebel spirit and...
I was going to say, but I don't know.
The prosperity gospel type thing, too. One of those things you want to pray about, that God protect and deliver him from that seducing spirit that wants to come in and control, manipulate, and you know, the harlot wants to work. I don't know. I just felt like the harlot. It's like the harlot spirit wanted to come in and control, manipulate the president of the United States by her charm and deceit and seducing powers and that kind of thing. And by, you know, I think it maybe yeah. Not where I'm going with that, where, you know, following that, but.
And we pray that God would send someone with the truth of the gospel up there to talk with Trump and get those apostate leadership, false prophets, and all those people out of there, false revival people, Rodney Howard Brown and Paula White and all that bunch, and put somebody up there that, and I believe he will, I believe that when the time comes, somebody will be translated up there and just show up in front of his desk. Listen, I need to tell you something. Just sit down here. Let's talk about this.
So do they have a Kundalini spirit?
Yeah. Well, Rodney Howard Brown is the one that brought the false revival over here, one of them, to Arnold's, what's the name of that? Toronto Airport Church. And then from there down to Pensacola. Stephen Hill brought it down there. But you know, God can use anybody. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I've got something on my heart. I think a lot of us have had something on our heart for a while. Is Charity on tonight? Charity, are you on?
No, I don't see her.
Yeah, no. I'm just wondering if we could pray for clarity for Charity. How's that? Clarity for Charity.
The poet didn't know it.
She just wants, you know, she's just, as many of us are, that she'll know what to do right now. So it's really on my heart. So.
Okay.
And, you know, well, normally, I don't know. Maybe it's not always wise to bring things up like this on a call like this, but I just think it might be good for everybody to pray for her.
Okay. Go ahead and pray. We'll believe with you, brother.
Okay. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have everything in Chad and Charity's situation in hand. And I just pray, Lord, that you will give Charity a knowing of what to do, a clear path right now, she wants to do what you want her to do. She wants to do the right thing. And I just pray you will just open up, make it very clear to her what to do at this point. And we all pray for your protection for Chad, and I just am thankful so much to you that you have everything under control and we can depend on you in this circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you. We bind up those spirits of manipulation and control and witchcraft and command them to stand down in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to give her clear and precise instructions on what to do. And Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Charity in that way. Well, she's had a long road to hoe. It's just you humbled her and brought her into a humble lifestyle. Father, we just ask and we pray, Father, that you start blessing her in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, do you work in Chad? We prayed the prayer of faith for him. We believe, Lord, that you're going to do something. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Everybody believe that? Yeah, Diane.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Father, we do pray. Father, we pray for our sister, especially now at this time, Lord. We pray that she would know your voice and hear your voice above all the other voices. You know how it is when we go through times like this, all the family comes in with all the opinions and everything else, Lord. So we pray that Charity would know your voice. She would hear your voice. And you would strengthen her, Lord, to obey your voice. You are the yes and the amen to all the promises of God. So we pray for her strengthening right now, Lord. And we thank you because we know what the enemy means for evil is going to backfire and turn out for good. So we thank you and praise you for the good that is going to come out of this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Also, I'd like to pray for clarity and direction for those of us who are in the vicinity here that can talk to Chad personally. So that because, you know, when you can go talk and do things, and you might, you know, I might have freedom to see him occasionally. So I just want to, I'd like direction along that line as well, and when to talk, when not to talk, and what to talk about, all those things. I just want to be led by the Spirit, and others that can meet with him. So, at least as long as he's in the area here.
Yeah.
Lord, I just ask you to do that, and that you give us, you help us to make sure we're walking in the Spirit and humbly before you and not coming up with our own ideas. I just pray that you will walk humbly before you and hear your voice and listen for your voice and do only that which you initiate. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, Leah. Where'd you go?
Bombs bursting in air.
Yeah, I know. This is going on. That's what I keep hearing here, too.
Just started. Sounds like a war's going on.
Yeah, it does here, too. That, down in the valley. Y'all getting a war down there.
Yeah, it's going to start up here, too, pretty soon. I got a gun range, too, not too far from me, too. I always hear that and those guys popping off.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be. We got a firecracker stand right down, just right straight down from us here. And later on in the evening, probably tomorrow night or the next night, they'll start doing them all. They'll just blow the whole thing up, you know, because they got all these firecrackers left, you know, and don't want to carry them over, and they'll just blast them all. I read about, I saw about this morning, about this 61-year-old guy that was out there doing fireworks for a bunch of neighborhood kids, and he had a big old rocket and he was fixing to blast it off, and he lit the thing, and the table fell, and that thing hit him right square in the chest, killed him instantly, right in front of all those kids. Just blew his chest off. My gracious, can you imagine? Don't do them big things. Don't do them big things. If you don't know how to do them, leave them alone. You know, firecrackers and sparklers, okay.
The news called it a mortar.
A mortar?
A mortar, yeah.
Yeah, I can believe
it. Shot him right in the chest.
My gracious.
I think those things get up to, they get 12-inch, 18-inch, and I think 24-inch. They've got some big stuff. In the Portland area, the U.S. Bank and some other banks usually sponsor the fireworks displays, but they have a lot of, they've got to do all this wiring, lay trenches and put wiring down so the guys at the controls can run all that stuff. But, man, a 24-inch mortar, oh, my goodness.
That you have to be licensed to do some of those things.
Yeah. Of course, you have to have licenses. Yeah, you have to have a pyrotechnics license
to do it. Yeah, the big stuff.
I never could bring myself to buy something that I was going to burn up. I could buy firecrackers and that kind of stuff and Roman candles, but that big stuff, man, all that money goes up and just pop, it's gone. So, no, I ain't doing that. I was a tightwad. Listen, the kids love the sparklers and they love the little firecrackers and all that stuff, and nobody ever got hurt. I show them how to blow up Mountain Dew cans, and things like that.
The one in D.C. tonight was supposed to cost $750,000.
That's a big firecracker. You know what I'm talking about?
Isn't that insane how much money they spend on that kind of stuff for entertainment?
Yeah.
And it's over in half an hour.
Yeah.
Still fun to watch.
They do it all up and down the coast down here, out here in California, Southern California. They'll have it synced. In the past, anyhow, they've had it synchronized all up and down the coast. Whole thing. Yeah.
So you could get in your boat and just fall it down, huh?
Something like that. Or, your cabin up on the higher places on the mountains and stuff, and you can see it. Places that have a higher elevation, they can see up and down the coastline when that stuff goes off at night.
Well, I sold my place. Go ahead, Diane.
Speaking of California, did they have an earthquake there today? I thought I heard something about a 6.4 earthquake. Is that right?
They did. I didn't even feel it. Marilyn told me about it earlier today, and I'm like, I didn't feel it. I feel it was about 200 miles away from me.
I was just going to ask you if you felt that one. Huh?
That sounds like a big one to me, 6.
Yeah, I didn't look at the details. I didn't know how. I think sometimes if it's not real deep, I may not feel it that when it's like that. If it was a real, if it was a shallower earthquake, I don't know. I haven't really looked at how that works I could have been walking and moving around too and not have felt it. I've noticed that if I'm doing that, I don't always feel stuff. If I'm just sitting in my apartment and there's a good size quake, I would feel something.
I lived out there for 10 years and never felt an earthquake, and they were constantly happening, and I never felt them at all. So I don't know what it was, but.
Years ago, a bunch of us were chasing a bear in Yosemite. This is like, I don't know, in the.
Something about that don't sound right, Malcolm.
Well, we were fed up with bears because they had tried to get all of our food. We just started a 10-day hike, and with about 10 people. So this bear was going after all the food we had, which we weren't happy about. Anyway, the next day we ran into a bear attacking somebody on the back on the trail and was tearing through their backpack trying to get their food. So we were kind of not pleased with the bears at that point. So anyway, I was charging after this bear, throwing rocks at it, and it was running across this valley. But all of a sudden, there was this huge rumbling from the mountain about the direction he ran toward. And I thought, oh my! At the time, I thought, oh my, is this a supernatural bear, or you know? Turns out there was an earthquake right about then, and a little landslide. You know, it wasn't little; it was a huge rumbling coming down that mountain. But we didn't find that out till weeks later when we got back to civilization.
How big do the bears get out there, Malcolm?
I don't know. They're pretty big. Any bear is going to be too big. I mean, you don't want to mess with them unless you're, you know, little David. But they're pretty big. This one that we were chasing was a pretty big bear. So, but, you know, when you're really aggressive like that, and at the time I was kind of upset at the bears anyway, so I wasn't turning back, and the bear could tell I wasn't going to turn back and just hightailed it.
This is Arnold, and one of my daughters lives out there, and she said they felt it really strong where she was at work. She said that they said that it was the strongest they'd had in 30 years in that area.
It was up by the Riverside area. Is that where she's located?
She's at Three Rivers. It's right outside the Sequoia National Park. East of Visalia, and she said they felt it really strong there. I know we on the national news they showed a couple homes that were in flames because the gas lines broke, and they evacuated a part of the hospital because they said it wasn't safe to have patients there. That's just what I heard on the national news about it. I was curious if they would even mention it, and they did. So it must have, and there were quite a few aftershocks, it sounded like, that were like 4.0 and above.
Yeah, there's been several aftershocks. It's up by Searles Valley, that's Searles Valley, and Ridgecrest.
Right. She said that some of their guests were where she was... that had been staying in the place where she was working, they were supposed to head to Ridgecrest this evening, and they were afraid to go there. She says, well, maybe you'll get to feel an aftershock, but I think they weren't wanting to go after they heard about the earthquake.
Kind of encouraged them, huh?
I would go in the other direction.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Missy.
I have an earthquake app, and there's a huge...
Well, praise God.
There's a huge cluster. I mean, a huge cluster. I don't know if you can see. Of earthquakes.
Yeah. But where is that? Is that California?
Yeah, that's, you know, where that big one that they're talking about, the 6.4, but, I mean... If I make it bigger, you can see I mean it's a lot. You can't really tell when they're up, when I have it smaller. But looking at that, I mean it's a huge amount.
On the map I've got of that area, it's 372 earthquakes in that zone that you're showing. 372 yeah. Earthquakes. That's
what kind of time?
Just less than 24 hours.
In the last 24 hours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that 6.4 hit like at 10:30 local time, 10:33 local
time. Sounds like the Lord's fixing to break that blue part of California off.
Not till he moves me out of the way. And any other elect people out here.
Go just, east, young lady, go east.
I'm waiting for the green light. I'm waiting for that direction. Where are you going to go with me, Lord? Yeah. Yeah, there's been, yeah, just several in that area all day.
Well, there's a war going on down below. Oh my goodness. Can y'all hear it?
Mm-mm. Don't take your word for it, though.
Yeah. There's a lot going on around me, too. It's yeah.
Okay. Would you like to share, Andrew?
Well, we were talking about the kingdom.
Yeah.
I was just trying to find that spot there where the Pharisees came and asked Jesus about when the kingdom was to come. And he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or there. For lo, the kingdom of God is among you." So some versions say within you. So that was the numeric. But I think King James says within you. I'm not sure.
You said the numeric says within you?
No. The numeric says among you here. That's in Luke 17, around the 20th verse. And we were discussing the kingdom there. And and if the kingdom's within you, it's how much you want to serve the Lord and obey him when he gives you a form of obedience or whatever he gives you at that time. There's a lot of places in the Bible where kingdom is mentioned.
Yeah. The ASV says the kingdom of God is within you. And that's the way I've always heard of it, within you. And that's the throne, you know. Get my numeric.
I've got one, Michael.
What does it say?
It says, "For lo, the kingdom of God is among you." But it has a note at the bottom that says, "Or in your midst." The numeric says, "Among you."
Okay.
Where are you at, Luke, what, 20?
Luke's 17, 20, I can't see the number. No, 20, yeah, 17, 21.
You'd probably have to look at the Greek, because Ivan Panin's work didn't really cover the English. His work was in the Greek, so you'd have to look at the Greek text and figure it out from there. Because you can, you know, it's like any language, you gotta translate it and be a good idea to understand what it, you know.
I was just wondering, maybe in one of the other Gospels it's within you. Because this is just Luke, eh? Sometimes these things are repeated. I don't know if this is repeated in one of the other books.
Malcolm, that's what the numerics Bible is, the New Testament numerics. It's that translation from the Greek in the and it has the perfect numerical patterns in it. So
right,
that's,
but not in English. There's no pattern in English because that's not how English works. But his work was in the Greek, But he did do a translation that represented as close as, you know, as any translator can get to the Greek. But that's what he was establishing was the Greek, which is also available on the website. So some of his work did help, like with like some of the punctuation where there's a comma.
Right.
And phrasing, because it does help establish phrasing and the how thoughts go together. So, but it'd be a good idea to look at the Greek itself that he chose, because you can go to the Greek, his Greek New Testament. It's hard to look at because it's kind of photographed. It's almost, I don't think you can even search it unless you use OCR, you know, like optical character recognition for Greek, not English. So, but anyway, you could go look at it and then look, you know, verify that the Greek word that he's translating from, and then you can study that.
Yeah, we've got one here, the Greek New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, you just go into your Bible software and look at the Greek, and then make sure it's the same, you know. For a while, I was thinking of trying to work on a project of trying to, because it's kind of hard to work with. It's not, it's in photographic, it's not like Greek text there on the site.
Ours so is.
Well, it's in the text, but you can't search it. So,
what do you mean? I know what
because it's you can't search the Greek. In other words, you put a Greek phrase in, you can't search it because it's an image in the PDF file. So, whereas the English is actually
no, Malcolm, you misunderstood me.
Oh,
we've got the Greek book, the Greek Ivan Panin numerical New Testament.
Right.
So.
Yeah. One but problem. I'm saying you can't take the PDF and search it because it's not that kind of a PDF file that you can search.
It's a book. It's not a file.
Yeah. but the book was like photocopied and put into a PDF that's available on UBM's website.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is.
And that's what I'm using.
Yeah. You speak Greek?
Not unless it's Greek goddess dressing or something.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask,
I studied Greek, but that was a long time ago, and I didn't get very far into it. And,
yeah.
And even people that have studied Greek, you know, it's hard for them to sit down and actually read the Greek New Testament. You know, so.
Why is that?
Because they don't know it very well. Plus, it's a dead language, you know. It's Koine Greek. It's long dead. So.
Well, I have a question here. It sounds like you know a little bit about it. Didn't Ivan Panin translate the Greek into English?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Didn't he put it as near as possible to the correct translation from Greek to English?
And yeah, he did. Okay. So I would highly value his translation.
Well, that's what Leon was saying, that the Greek, that the numeric New Testament is correct, as correct as we can be, right?
I don't know. I don't know, because I don't know. With any language, it's another, not our own native tongue. I think it's good to look at.
Well, Greek was not Ivan Panin's native tongue either.
Yeah.
Native language. But he was an expert at it. He was an expert at Hebrew, too.
Yeah. But I wouldn't take his translation as the last word. I would take his Greek as last word, though.
What? You mean the English?
Yeah, the English, I would, like any other English, I would.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
you're bringing out some doubt and unbelief here. The numeric English New Testament is the most perfect copy we have in that has been published, correct? Are you a King James only?
A King James only. Everybody else is wrong Baptist.
No.
Well, I believe it's good to be a good Berean and study. But if I have a question about something and I'm trying to study it in the Greek, I'd like to study all the different, especially the SBL. If you're saying that the English translation by Ivan Panin is at the same level as the Greek, I think that's pushing it a little bit. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's not what Ivan Panin was pushing for. He was trying to get the Greek and the Hebrew. He wanted to nail down what the original Greek and Hebrew really was, because that's where the discussion is. You know, what about the Johannine comma in John, which was added, you know, obviously added, and most scholars believe that now too. You know, all those kinds of questions, for me, Ivan Panin really settled that by this numeric pattern thing in the original language. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that he translated it, because he didn't provide anything for the Old Testament, which I think would have been nice.
Let me just stop you just a moment and let's try to get back on track here a little bit. We're talking to people who only know English. I know English. As a matter of fact, Arkansas English is really good for me. So if I'm reading the Bible and I've only got the numeric English New Testament, that is, to me, the most perfect Bible that I can get, right?
I would agree with that, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah. I'm just saying the nuances. It'd be helpful to go and study the Greek.
What we're doing, Malcolm, is most people don't study the Greek. Most people don't know how to read Greek. Most people don't even know that Greek exists. But they do know English. And if we can tell them that the most perfect Bible that you can buy in English is the numerics, then they'll be confident in that they'll be, you know, led down the right road.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I think we need to remember that Paul used the King James, and that's why we ought to use it. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Well, him being a Baptist, I guess so. Go ahead, Dave. Touché, Malcolm.
I am looking at Luke 17:21, and you can get the numerics as a add-on Bible into Esword.
Yeah.
It does say, you know, Ivan Panin used at the end, God is among you. But, you know, some of my other versions, I got just modern, literal version that says within you.
The ASV says within you.
King James says within you. The ASC says within you. If I go to the King James version for and get the plus, the King James version the plus, which expands out the Greek for each word, it shows a Greek reference for within as Greek 17:22, or inside or within, entros. This is entos for the Greek word. I'm surprised Pavin used among. Now, among versus within. I remember years back that I was looking in the how the Holy Spirit comes around people. He can be among us, and he can be within you. Now, people are baptized in the Holy Spirit and have the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's within. And there was three kinds of positions with the Holy Spirit. Among, there was among, which is around in the area, because that's God's spirit. I know, and I can't think of it, epi, and so there was three words. I can't remember exactly what they were. It's been so long. I don't have that. I have to find that and look that up again. But within was a whole different term. That's like inside, like it's saying.
The Old Testament talks about upon you.
Upon, yeah. Among, and within.
Right.
Those are the three.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh, Rex, what's his name, that did that teaching on the Holy Spirit, had a real good analogy on that.
Did he teach that also?
Yeah. He said, if you're talking about the Holy Spirit being upon you, it's like taking an empty Coke bottle, putting your thumb over the top of it, and submersing it down into the water. That's upon you. The Holy Spirit's all around you and upon you. He said, then when you take your thumb away from the Coke bottle top and the water starts coming in and it's in you and around you, that's within. That's when you're filled within. Which is a good analogy, I thought. That's one of the best I've ever heard.
I'm kind of getting this feeling a little bit that somehow describes a little bit of the kingdom of God, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Go, Julie.
I think you have to look at the context of the verse and why it's being used that way when you start looking at, you know, how it was within you or among you, because it's talking about the verse before that. The Pharisees were asking when the kingdom of God is coming, and he answered them that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, and neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, lo, there, lo, here, go not away, nor follow after them. Because the Pharisees were looking for the kingdom of God to come. It's like, when is the kingdom of God coming? It's like, and he's telling them, you know, don't be looking for these signs like what they were looking for. The kingdom of God is within you, within the midst of you. It's within the person, is what I think is what the Lord was saying. Tell me, you know, help me if I'm wrong in that, but I think I had to look at the context of what he was saying there.
We're praying for you now.
I think what he was saying was, you're looking for a sign, and here's the sign right in front of you. So he was amongst them. The Holy Spirit was amongst them with Jesus being in their presence. But you as an individual, the Holy Spirit is within you. So if you're with me, then the Holy Spirit is amongst us, but it's in you. Within you. So both of those are very applicable to what he was saying, if you look at it in truth. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I understand. I know what you're saying now. Yep.
What's the Holy Spirit?
What is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
A lot.
What the Spirit of God.
Spirit? How do you answer that? He's the Spirit of God. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He's there to, you know, to bring us into the image of the Lord.
If he exposed himself, that's all we would see.
Yeah, you can't see it. It's everything. Yeah. So there, it's like, is it a what or a who? Or both.
are you getting any bullets inside your house? Because there's a lot of war. It sounds like a small war going on.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like that here, too, all of a sudden. But anyway, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God.
Yeah. Yeah, Diane, go ahead.
the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Yep.
So Jesus, he is in us. He went away and sent the spirit. So he was among them, but now he's in us and among us.
Okay. Amen.
I got it right.
I'm going to leave you with a question for next week. Where did the Holy Spirit come from?
Mm.
It wasn't that Coke bottle thing you were talking about?
All right, now. I'm not going. No, I'm going there. No, where does it come from? David teaches that. All right, well, we're out of time. Been an interesting week. Hopefully they'll stop that blowing the firecrackers outside, because it's getting louder and louder. It looks like it's coming up the hill here. But Lord, we just thank you for another good evening. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your people that gets in your word and study your word and find out these answers that we look for. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides and leads us into these things. And Father, we just love you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you keep us on that straight and narrow, and that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and take our hand and lead us and keep us from trying to get ahead of you, Lord, just to wait on you and just let you allow you to lead us and guide us in the ways that you'd have us to go. And Father, keep our minds occupied with your word so that we'd know these answers when people out there on the streets would ask us, that we could go right to the word. And we ask, Lord, that when we do get to ask these things, that you bring those verses to our memory every time, that we could just recite them and say, look, here's what the word of God says. And people will just understand that they need to change. They need to repent, because you've already given the spirit of repentance. And Father, we just praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for this time ahead of us when all these great happenings are going to happen. And we thank you for your bride that's going to be teaching and doing the things that you'd have them to do. And the man-child ministry that's going to guide and lead us, Lord. We thank you for all of these ministries, the two witnesses and all of those, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that it's going to be just coming to light here real soon. We ask, Father, that you give us all a good night's sleep tonight, and that we would all come together again and just have another great time with you, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.